Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today. We have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bibles ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get them so that we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Our question today is from Natalie. Natalie is wondering something that I have wondered too. So it might be a little confusing, but we are going to look in our Bibles and see what we can find, what kind of answer we can find. So Micah, what is Natalie's question?
How will every eye see Jesus?
So the verse you're thinking of is found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." And so the question is, how is it possible for every eye to see Jesus when he comes? So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27.
All right, so Matthew's the first book in the New Testament, chapter 24. Ooh, that chapter is all about the signs of Jesus coming and the things that's going to happen. All right, Matthew 24 and then verse 27. Aiden, what does that say?
"For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be."
Have you ever watched a big thunderstorm before?
Mm-hmm. We have some big ones that go through here. It's like monsoon season in July, and you have these huge clouds that come through, and you can just see the rain falling, and it's all dark, and it cools things down. Oh, it's so wonderful.
Yeah. When the lightning flashes, it can light up the whole sky, can't it?
Yeah.
Even when I've closed the blinds on my window and shut my eyes, I have been able to tell when there's lightning.
Mm-hmm. Because it just lights up the room. It's really, really bright.
Yeah. And it's kind of frustrating because I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, totally.
But scientists estimate that lightning can be seen in a dark sky anywhere from up to 100 or even 250 miles away. So Jesus compared his coming to lightning, which comes from the east and shines to the west. But it will be far brighter, far more spectacular than a thunderstorm. The Bible says that the whole sky will roll up like a scroll.
That'll be amazing.
And all of the angels of heaven will appear with Jesus.
Incredible.
And it will be so bright that no one will be able to miss it. Now, we don't know exactly how every eye will see Jesus when he comes. Here's a few possibilities. Perhaps Jesus will descend from heaven at a speed and angle so that within a very short time, everyone would be able to see him.
Okay.
Think of a really fast jet flying through the sky, slowly coming lower, but in a short amount of time, a lot of people can see that jet. So that's one possibility.
Yeah.
Maybe Jesus will use the science behind mirages so that people who aren't within a direct line of sight because of the curved surface of the earth can still see him.
That would be really cool. Like kind of bending light.
Bending the rays of light.
Yeah. I think this one's hard because our earth is round, and so we can only imagine what round things are. And when you're on one side of something round, you can't see the other side. And if Jesus is coming, it kind of makes it hard to imagine. But what's so neat is that God is so much bigger than us. And he can just make these things happen. And we can imagine, we can sit here and we can think about it and talk about it. But really, God's going to make it happen. And how that happens, we don't know exactly. But we can know that it's going to happen that way. And when it does, it'll all make sense. And we'll be like, oh, that's how he did it.
Yeah. And there's an even more important question to ask. When we see Jesus coming, will we be happy or sad? It all depends on whether or not we have made Jesus our friend. If we make Jesus our friend, if we spend time with him every day, we will be happy to see him. But if we don't make Jesus our friend, if we get so busy with our toys and our friends and our school that we don't spend any time with him, we will be sad when he comes.
Yeah.
I want to be happy when Jesus comes, don't you?
Oh, me too. I want to be eagerly looking forward to him. And when he comes, I'll be able to say, behold, this is my God. I've waited for him and he's saving me. Thank you so much, Natalie, for that question. It was a real thought provoker. We were really thinking about it and wrestling with it. And I think it's important to ask ourselves the question, will I be ready? Well, am I making the daily choices that shows that I love Jesus and that I'm looking forward to him coming? We are so glad that you joined us today. If you want to find more programs like this, go to our website, startingwithjesus.com. And we want to remind you to start each and every day with Jesus. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising him. Did you know that Ephesians talks about us being soldiers, fighting against Satan and evil? Soldiers on Jesus' side? We are to lift high the royal banner, and Jesus will lead his army, taking us from victory to victory. Pretty exciting stuff, isn't it?
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not stop from loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Tell every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back. I am so glad that you're joining me today as we continue learning about Saul. Do you remember what happened last time? Well, Saul and the soldiers were on their way to Damascus to find the believers and throw them in jail. But who appeared to Saul? You're right. Jesus himself had stopped Saul. He was talking to him. How do you think that made Saul feel? Well, we're going to find out more about it in just a minute. But first, let's bow our heads and pray God's blessing as we study and learn about him. Lord, we want to ask that your spirit will be with us and that you will give us your wisdom, your love, and your care, that you will teach us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Saul was trembling. He was terrified. He was lying on the ground. He had just heard Jesus speak to him, and he now knew that the terrible things he had been doing were wrong. It was the Holy Spirit that had made him uncomfortable over the things Stephen had said about Jesus, and all of a sudden, it's like he understood. He now realized that he had been helping Satan instead of helping God. Oh, how awful. In a trembling, fearful voice, what did Saul ask Jesus? Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 5. We are going to jump right into the Bible. Acts chapter 9, and then we're going to read verse 5. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 9, and then let's read verse 5. The chapters are the big numbers. The verses are the small numbers. So once you find Acts chapter 9, look under that for those small numbers and you'll find verse 5. We're going to read verse 5 together. Here's what it says.
And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks."
So he asked him a question. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, do you think he kind of had an idea of who he was? Well, he said, "Lord." He could have just said, "Who are you?" But he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And What did Jesus respond? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Was Saul persecuting Jesus, or was he persecuting Jesus' followers? He was persecuting Jesus' followers. But in doing that, he was persecuting Jesus. It's like he was chasing after. He was trying to hurt. He was hurting Jesus by his actions. Well, the others, who might have been soldiers or servants or scribes or whoever else was along on this trip with Saul, the others who were with him were terrified too. They were pretty scared. All of a sudden, there's this light and they're blinded. But you know what? Saul was the only one who saw Jesus, and he was the only one who understood what he said. Look at verse 7. We just read verse 5. Now we're going to skip verse 6 and we're going to read verse 7.
And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but no man.
So the men that were with him, they heard a voice, but they didn't know who was talking to him. Wow. Now we're going to read verse 6, and I'm going to read it for you. You can read along with me. Let's see what Jesus' instructions were to Saul. Here's what it says. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Did Jesus give him a whole long list of, well, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this? Or did he just give him one thing to do? You're right. He gave him one thing. He said, get up. Well, I guess technically two. Get up, arise, and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So that's what Saul did. He staggered to his feet, and he tried to look around, but what had happened? He had been made blind. The bright light had blinded him, and he couldn't see anything. Now, some big, tough guy who thinks that he's going to go and throw people in jail, if all of a sudden he was blinded, what do you think that would do? Could he do his job? Would he be so tough anymore? Or would he be struggling and kind of fumbling around and needing help? Yeah. My younger brother, who is in his 20s, he is what's called a bounty hunter. And what he does is there are people that the state or the country needs to get, and because they've done something wrong and they need to go to jail. But these guys haven't showed up for jail, or they haven't showed up for their court. And now they have a reward on them to be turned in. Well, my brother, he goes out and he tries to find these people. Now, he's a tough guy, and he goes in and he finds these people and he takes them to jail, and it's a hard business. But you know what? If he was blind, do you think he'd be able to do his job? No, he wouldn't. He would not be able to do his job. He would need help. He wouldn't be a big tough guy anymore. He would need help from others. That's what Saul was feeling. He had to depend on someone else to lead him into the city. Look at verse 8. Let's read that together. Acts chapter 9, verse 8.
And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus.
They led him by the hand. Saul's mind must have been very confused. How awful he felt. What terrible things he'd been doing. How could God ever forgive him? What was going to happen next? He knew that he didn't deserve to live, but Jesus had said that he would be told what he must do. Now, I kind of wonder what happened to the people that were with him. Did they just, like, take him into the house and then leave him there? We don't hear about them after this point, so that's what I'm assuming. Maybe they went back to Jerusalem. I don't know. But in Damascus, Saul was taken to the home of a believer who lived on a street. And guess what that street's name was? The street's name was Straight Street. Do you think maybe it was a straight street? Or do you think it was a curvy street that was named Straight Street? I don't know, but it's kind of funny to think about. Well, even there, he wanted to be alone. He just needed some time to think and to process everything that had happened. And, you know, he can't see, so it's not like he wants to go anywhere and do anything. Saul needed to take this time and to think, to pray. And one thing that he knew for sure was that Jesus himself had stopped him on the road and had spoken to him. How do you think that made him feel? I think that probably made him feel pretty special. But I think also it made him feel embarrassed, because here he had been going and fighting against Jesus, fighting against his believers and his followers. Jesus spoke to him. What an amazing thought. There's a story by Your Story Hour called Don't Go Today. It's a story about a family who was going to go to visit the grandma's house for Thanksgiving dinner. That's a holiday that we have in the United States where we get together and we have a big meal and we talk about what we're thankful for. Well, this family was getting ready to go. The mother was pregnant. She had one more month until she was going to have a baby. And then there was a little girl and there was the father. Well, they were all packed up. They had the car loaded. They were ready to go. And before they went, they knelt down and they prayed for Jesus to be with them and to protect them. Well, as they prayed, the father couldn't keep praying and he kept stopping. And the mother said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, every time I start praying for God's protection, he says, don't go today." And she said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, it's the strangest thing. Every time I go to pray, he says, don't go." And the mother said, "Well, that's crazy. We need to go. We have to go today because we have to drive all day because tomorrow's Thanksgiving and we're going to get together and we're going to eat together." And he said, "Yeah, but it's the weirdest thing." She said, "Well, try it again." So he prayed again. Sure enough, the voice said, "Don't go today." He thought, "That's really strange." And the little girl said, "You mean we can't go to grandma's?" And he's like, I don't know. And him and his wife looked at each other and she said, "Well, if God's telling you not to go, then he knows best. And even though we're really disappointed, let's not go." And so they didn't. They stayed home. They had a picnic. And as the TV was on, they saw that there was a huge storm right where they would have been traveling. It was dumping 12 to 14 inches of snow on the freeway and the towns around the area where they would have been driving through. And they looked at each other and said, "Well, maybe that's why we weren't supposed to go. Maybe we would have been stranded." Well, a little while later, all of a sudden, the wife felt this pain in her stomach. "Oh, oh, oh." She's like, I didn't think it was time, but maybe we need to go to the hospital. Maybe the baby's going to come a month early." And so they got all bundled up and they got in the car and it was pretty slick out and they drove to the hospital. When they got to the hospital, they hooked her up to all these monitors and they did some tests and the doctor came in very, very concerned. He said, "Your baby is in distress and because he has the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. We need to do an emergency C-section right now. Emergency surgery has to happen now. Otherwise, he could die." So they rushed her into the operating room and she had the baby. The baby was healthy. He was early, but he was healthy and happy and they saved him in time. And they looked at each other and they said, "Imagine if we had have been driving, what would have happened with the snowstorm and then the baby? He could have died." They realized that God had spoke to them and told them what they were to do. Boys and girls, Jesus wants to talk to you. He wants to lead you and guide you. He wants you to follow him and to trust him. I know I want to trust Jesus today, don't you? Let's pray and let's tell him. Lord, we want you to lead us. We want to hear a voice behind us saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Help us to walk in your paths, to follow your words and your teachings. We love you, Jesus, so much. Come into our hearts today and be with us as we go about our day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Acts 9, verse 6.
Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do?
The Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.